You know, the Tiferes Yosef, from Parshas Noach to Parshas Tetzaveh, he doesn't. There's nothing recorded of his Torah, so I'm looking at some of the Gemaras later. So if you want to go and look, it's in Chagiga. So there's different Gemaras in Chagiga. There's one V'samachtu b'chagecho tonu rabbonon. L'rabbi is kol mine simchas l'simcha. So what does it mean V'samachtu? We have an obligation to be joyous on Yontif. Mikan omru chachomim. From here, from this posuk V'samachtu b'chagecho, that you have an obligation to rejoice on Yontif. Yisroel yoytzin idei chayvosam b'nedorim b'nedovis b'malse b'heime, so that a Jew can fulfill his obligation to rejoice on Yontif with these offerings that he brings in the temple. Whether these are vows that he made to bring offerings, or whether these are those offerings a person was obliged to bring when you came to the temple, called Re'iyah, or b'masa behema, or whether, you know, the tithes of animals and so on. And the Kohanim, they also had offerings that they could eat. And these are the sin offerings and guilt offerings, the firstborns, and so on. So, the question that the Tiferes Yosef wants to look at is, what does it mean, simcha? What does it mean to rejoice? When the Torah says, V'samachtu b'chagecho, what does it mean? Be happy? It means more than that. So, he says in the name of his Zayder that simcha means when a person stands in behirus, in clarity, in radiance. So there's a certain kind of knowledge that you can be in an awareness which feels like standing in tremendous sunlight. And that is when you know that everything is in the hands of God. You don't just mean, you know, I was having difficulty making the rent, and then, you know, I walked into someone who said, oh, you know, I owed your father some money here, you know, I'm giving it to you. And then I say, you know, that's mamash min ha-shamayim, that's the hand of heaven at work here, so hakoy b'dei shamayim. That's not what we mean. What the Ishbitzer says, behirus of knowledge that everything is in the hand of God, means that a person can see how his own awareness, a person becomes so clearly aware, the clarity extends even to an awareness that the clarity itself is a gift from God. That's the meaning of simcha. Right? So when I stand in the presence of God and I say, Bnei Shalom, thank you for everything, I realize that everything that I have in my life is a result of Hashgacha Prada's divine providence. That is simcha, yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. The simachta b'chagecha, the simcha that's talked about in the Torah, when the Torah commands us to have joy, is another level of clarity where we become aware that our awareness is the gift. That is like a blinding sunlight that opens us up. There is, to this awareness, nothing compares. And he goes on to say that knowing the real, you see, we always say Daya, Yadiya, I know, Das. We've spoken many times about how Das is the word means to connect. So really knowing, having knowledge of your connection with God, that is the meaning of Das, right? But the Ishbitzer says nothing is really happening until you go to the next level. Until you go to the level where you become aware how your connection with God is coming from God. So he gives for an example, he brings the Zohar. The Zohar says, imagine everybody comes to the king. And you have to bring a gift when you come to the king. So as you come into the palace, you pick up something, you know, you see there a vase standing, you know, in the windowsill in the king's palace. So you pick it up. And then when you come to the king, you present it to the king, you hand him the vase, you know, like what kind of a gift is that where you take from the king's own palace and you give it to the king? He says, that is miyot chunos nulach. David HaMelech says, you know, Baruch Hashem, Vayivorach David Sa'am, he says, Ki Mimcho HaKoil U'Miyot Chonos Nulach. Everything comes from you, and it's from your hand that we're giving to you. Because at a certain point, I become aware that being a Yid and being connected and my desire for God is really a gift. That what I'm bringing to my avoda, what I'm bringing to my worship, is a gift from God. That's the meaning of the Zohar. When the Zohar says, have you seen, what's the Hamitin man denotel mi beimalke v'yoev lemalke? Have you seen somebody who takes something from the house of the king and offers it as a gift to the king? Because our desire for worship, our desire to be connected, that is the greatest gift of all. So what does God do? God checkers the whole world. The whole world is like sprayed with a kind of opacity that makes it possible for us to imagine that things belong to us, things come from us, that our feelings of worship, that our feelings of wanting to connect, of wanting to do Torah mitzvahs, that these feelings are themselves, they're coming from us. Why? Because we experience the opposite. We experience distance from God. We experience disconnection. We experience the search, the confusion. And so because we experience all those things and then we feel that we're going on a journey where we struggle to get past our confusion and our distraction and to concentrate, to focus, and to try and find the connection with God, even though if we could only see what's really going on, we'd see that that's not what's happening, that we are being led. But because we live in that world of the illusion, so the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the pleasure of feeling that we make that breakthrough, that we're going looking for God and that we find. And in order for us to have that pleasure, we also have to have that pain of feeling disconnected and feeling that we can't find and living in the dark. However, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, when you're in the temple itself, there it's different. There, stand in another world. Going into the Beis HaMikdash means going into the place where the illusions are gone. And so as soon as you enter the Beis HaMikdash, you are in that place where the connection is so clear that it's impossible to maintain the illusion that, I came here on my own, and this is all my own work. That's why the Beis HaMikdash is really the place of David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech, he lived all his life in that awareness that there is no disconnect. A person can never be disconnected. And so with this, the Ishbitzer explains the Pasuk. There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 9. Al yishalo chochem b'chochmosoi, let not the wise man pride himself in his wisdom. Val yishalo gibbe b'gvurosoi, and let not the strong man pride himself on his strength. Al yishalo osher b'oshroi, and let not the rich man pride himself in his wealth. Hello! And then the verse ends saying, no, with this, the wise man can pride himself on knowing me. So it doesn't mean, a strong man doesn't mean the person who's like big muscles. You know, the Mishnah says, Ezo Gibbah Kovish is Yitzroy, who is strong, the one who can conquer his own desires. Ezo Osher, who's rich, Hasamech Bechelko, is somebody who has satisfaction and contentment. So the Novi says a person shouldn't take pride in his strength, meaning a person shouldn't say, you know what, I overcame this terrible adversity. I put in so much work and I overcame my desires, you know, and I used to mess around with this, and I was a big drinker and I couldn't stop drinking, and then, you know, thank God, you know, with my willpower I've succeeded in. There's no joy in that. What is the joy in? The joy is kim bizois yishalel hamisale. This is what somebody who wants to take pride in should take pride in. Haskel v'yodoya oisi, a knowing and understand me, says God. Because the real joy is in always in realizing that what you have is a gift. And even though it feels that you worked so hard to achieve some kind of a level of a breakthrough, the real joy is always in knowing that that was the gift. The breakthrough was the gift. So when the Yidden came up to Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews went on pilgrimage 3 times a year, and they brought with them these burnt offerings and the festival offerings and the peace offerings, and then they took them into the temple, then suddenly they realized that they're connected, that their coming and their presence, that the life story is part of the divine story. You see, realizing that you are part of the divine story and that your desires are the divine desire, I mean, if you say it only in words, it doesn't really have that much impact. It's just another nice phrase. But what does it mean? If I realize emes, nicht stamm gesagt, not just said from the mouth and lips outwards, but if I understand in my kishkis, if I get it in the viscera, that just as God is eternal, chai v'kayam, lives forever, without any boundaries, without end, that I also am eternal and live forever and without end. Because I am the Word of God. So therefore, I am just as divine and as eternal as everything that is divine and eternal. It's very hard for me to get that, right? Because I feel so bound, so finite, so flawed. so broken, so imperfect, so unfinished, so full of contradiction and darkness and whatever. All those things that make me feel less than. Mamela, whenever I feel good, there's something in there that still doesn't feel that good. But just imagine for a moment if I can get past that and I can see myself the way God sees me, which is how I truly am, which is to say that God has called me from nothing and God has spoken my name. He sings my name all the time, and that's what gives me existence. And just as we say that God's word is forever, Mamela, I'm also forever. That is the simcha that comes to us when we stand in the Beis HaMikdash and we offer our korbonos, we offer our offerings to God, and we realize that this life story that we bring with us, this narrative that we are. I mean, last year I went home after Yontif and I took care of the animals, and I looked at this particular bullock and I said to myself, you know, this one is without any flaws. This is a really healthy animal. You know, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take it to the Beis HaMikdash for Yontif, for Pesach, for Shavuos, for Sukkot, whatever, and I'm going to bring it with me, and this is going to be the special festival. No. So all through the winter, my narrative has had, you know, this offering that I'm going to be bringing. And then I come into the Beis HaMikdash, I actually enter into the temple and I stand there, and as the Kohen offers up those parts of the animal on the altar, and you know, I start to realize that my narrative is really happening in the mind of God. That all I'm doing really is acting out the story that God has for me. In that awareness is an awareness of, okay, so there's an awareness of how little I am, but there's also an awareness of how infinite, how everlasting is this story. There's an interesting pasuk. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes. He says, King Solomon says, "Kol asher timtzi yadcha la'aseh," whatever your hand can find to do, do. "Ki ein ma'aseh v'cheshbon v'da'as v'chochma b'shul," because there's no actions, there's no reckoning, there's no knowledge, there's no wisdom in the grave. "Asher ata holech," where you're going. So in other words, whatever you can do, do, because, and this is how we usually understand this verse, because once a person descends into the underworld, there's nothing there. So the Zohar asks, what's he saying? That you know, do what you want, because there's nothing in the grave. I mean, that's it. Death means just a cutting of the ribbon and that's it. So you better get on with life and faratik. That's not what he means. The Zohar Kodesh says, when King Solomon said, "Ashetim tziyot chalasois bekoichacho," when whatever you can do with your power, do, that bekoichacho refers to the neshama. So the Ishbitz explains like this, that the neshama, what does it mean, your soul? Your soul means your story. If you can live your life in your story, in your narrative, and that narrative, that awareness of being the creature, the creation of God, then everything that you do never dies. You become aware, even in your lifetime, that nothing is lost, because you are the narrative that God is speaking, God is singing, God is telling your Torah. Memela, that's what King Solomon means. Whatever you can do, bekoichacho, whatever you can do, and the neshama says, the Zohar says, when we talk about koichacho, your power, we're talking about neshama, and the Ishbitz explains, what that means is in the awareness that you are something amazing, that you are divine, that you last forever. If you can do your life and live that way, then you realize that nothing is lost. It was most easy to be in this awareness when we were in the Beis HaMikdash, when we were standing in the temple precincts, because the Mikdash, the temple, really is in space what Shabbos is in time. And Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima. It goes on. It, regardless of whether a person makes Shabbos or not, anytime you're in Shabbos and you decide, I want to be in the holiness of Shabbos, you're right there, because Shabbos has its own holiness. Yontif, it's not the same. A person has to be Mekadosh the Yontif. A person has to bring something to the Yontif in order to make it holy. But Shabbos is holy by itself. So as soon as a person wants to taste something of that holiness, you just have to like click into the awareness. The same thing is in the Beis HaMikdash. If I want to make my house holy, there are things that I have to do. And then I can feel the holiness. But in the Beis HaMikdash, all I have to do is be there. And as soon as I'm there, like I can see straight away. And what happens when I'm in that holiness? Then I become aware of how I am really this narrative that God is telling. What happens when I become aware of my narrative is that I realize, you know, as much as it's my narrative, God is telling this story. And so it's God's narrative. And from that comes this amazing simcha. Because when I'm in the awareness that I am a story being told by God, the joy that comes up is, that's the meaning of v'samachta b'chagech. You know, it's so hard for us to get past those parts of our awareness that are always trying to hammer home how flawed we are, and you know how undeserving of that awareness of joy. And of course, part of the reason... Hi, Dr. Steve. Part of the reason that it's so difficult to be aware of being in that place, the way David HaMelech was. Because there's a flip side. If I'm aware all the time how my narrative is really God's story, and that everything that I do and everything that I am is divine, is going to last forever, the flip side of that is that, oh, I can tell myself, well, since I'm divine, since I'm eternal, since, you know, I'm the story that goes, so why do I need to work? Why do I need to constantly bring my awareness back to my purpose and my growth and my journey? You know, who needs a journey? Everything is written, and you know the story that I am going to be told is just God's story. So, like, what do I need? Why is there a necessity for my avoider, for my worship? Why does God need my worship? If He wants me to worship, I'll be worshiping. Right? That's the flip side of that. So, one of the ways of understanding is to try, and you know, that in the Medrash it talks about Ba'oid Shakurish Baruch Hu Yochid Ba'oilomoy Hoyachofetz Lios Loidira Petach Toinim, that God, when God was alone in the universe, He wanted to have Dira betachtoinim, He wanted to dwell in the world below. And so, I mean, this is it's a very interesting madrash that has all kinds of, you know, illogical, circular kind of thinking. But this is how we arrive at the madrash. And, you know, Rashi says, Bereshis, in the beginning God created the world, because the Jews are called Rashis, and they arose in that original thought, because God wants to dwell in the world, and so for God to dwell in a world, there has to be people, and those people are represented by Israel, and so therefore Rashis means Yisrael Shenikra Rashis. Yeah, I guess it's a theological problem if you want to think about, you know, what does it mean that God wants to dwell in the world? But with what we were saying earlier, we were talking about when I feel desire, when I want to worship God and I want to connect to God, that is really God wanting to connect with me. And even that feeling that I have of I want to break through because I can't feel God, and Rabbeinu Shalom, how come, you know, when I was young I used to daven with so much fire and passion, Islahavis, and how come now I can't anymore, and like, Rabbeinu Shalom, how come you feel so far away from me? That also is a gift, right? That's also the gift from God. And that Avraham Avinu, the Medrash says, Ro Biro de Lakas, he sees this lit up town. He says, Toimish Shein Le Bira Manik, what does that mean? Does that mean there's nobody in charge? Where's the person in charge? Hitzitz Olav Barabiro. So the owner of the town looks at him and says, Ani Balabiro, I'm the owner of the town. What does this Medrash mean? And the Ishbitzer explained, and we've talked about it many times, how Avraham Avinu has this tremendous longing for God. He says, Bani Shalom, I'm sure that you exist. His father didn't tell him that God exists. Nobody told him that God exists. But Avraham Avinu feels in his kishkes, Bani Shalom, I know that this town must have it couldn't have built itself, this city. There must be somebody in charge. And even though he sees chaos and anarchy wherever he looks in the world, he's convinced that underneath it there's some underlying unity. So he speaks and he says, you unity, I want to connect with you. And even if I can't connect with you, please, is there something I could do for you? Because I know you must be, right? So then the Medrash says, Hitzitz Olav Balabiro, the owner of the town says, hey you, of course there's somebody in charge here. And the Ishbitz explains this Medrash, meaning God saying to Avraham, the fact that there awakens in you this desire for me should be the answer. The distance that you feel, the barrier that you feel, that longing to break through or to get through or to somehow make a connection with God, that itself is God. The fact that nobody else in this town asks the question, who's in charge, should alert you to the fact that if you're asking the question, something is going on. The fact that we are aware and we ask these questions all the time, and we spend our lives as human beings with these words and this metaphysics that bothers us and won't let us sleep, that in itself is the proof that we need, if we need. And in fact, the Ishbitz is saying that this is the source of the greatest joy, that this struggle that we have this awareness that we have, this, in fact, the struggle that we have, so like the confusion and the darkness and the lack of faith, right? What happens? We open the newspaper, we look around at the world. There's an explanation for everything. There's nothing you can't explain without science, right? Everything has an explanation. So then where's the room for God? So a person says, no, how am I going to explain? How am I going to reconnect with my faith? How am I going to reconnect with my emuna? So the Ishbitzer says, no, you just did. The question that's coming up in you is God speaking. Your desire is God, because that's God's desire. That's the meaning when the Medrash says that God has this desire to make a dira b'tachtonim, to dwell below. It doesn't mean that God wants everybody to be aware of Him, ba ba bam, you know, and that there's nothing else, because that's not dira b'tachtonim. That doesn't mean to dwell. That means to shine upon. To dwell means that a person feels the darkness and calls out, Rabbeinu Shalom, why don't I feel you in my life? You know, why do I feel so distant from you? Why is it so hard for me to make a brocha, to sit down and to daven? Why don't I feel drawn to you? Why do I feel like so caught up in what the world says, and like, who needs to believe? Why can't I feel like that faith that I had as a child? Why must I be so full of questions? That call, that she'ifa, that sa'oka, that itself, that's God. So why should it be that way? You know, we say, Adoin Olam Hashem Molach B'Terem Kol Yetzir Nivra. God who reigned before anything else was created. Right? So God was king. Adoin Olam Hashem Molach. God was king. And then we say, Azai Shmoi Melech. Azai Melech Nikro. Then God gets called king. The Tiferes Yosef says an amazing thing. He says, God was king. God doesn't need us. God doesn't need anything. God is king whether the creation exists or not. Logic, the fact that a king can only exist if there are people to call him king, Ein Melech B'loi Am, that is a creation. That is something that God created. So, after creation, we say to ourselves, well, God's not God. God's not king unless there are people to be king over. Azai melech shmoi nikra. Until there are people for God to be king over, God's not king. Even though in the same sentence we say, Adoin Olam Hashem Molach B'Terem Kol Yetzir Nivra. So how does that come about that now we say, God, you're not king unless you have people? So the Tiferes Yosef says, because that's what God created. That is the meaning of creation. Illusion. You want to call it laws of nature or laws of discourse or logic. The human mind, the fact that we say something is true because we prove it, all of that is creation. We can, if we want to, we can live with this creation and at the same time look beyond the creation, look to the reality, which is before God created the world, He didn't need me. And after God created the world, He didn't need me. However, for some reason, God wants me. And as such, I am happening in the mind of God. We are all happening in the mind of God. And so we are infinite and we are brilliant and we shine forever. And in that knowledge, is the ultimate simcha, is the ultimate joy.